Hello and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, she, her pronouns, the Director of Prevention and Youth Services at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships that are given to us, and a big place that we see these examples is in the media that we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media that we discuss. Our guest this month is Casey, she, her pronouns, who recently rewatched The School of Rock and saw many aspects of the movie in a new light that she viewed way differently when she watched the movie at a young age. The School of Rock is a movie released in 2003 that follows Jack Black's character, Dewey Finn, a wild and eccentric, down-on-his-luck musician who pretends to be his roommate so that he can take on a substitute teaching role at a prestigious elementary school when he needs to make rent. As Dewey leads his students to form a rock band in lieu of the typical curriculum, we see some unhealthy behaviors and interactions between characters that are being kind of glamorized in movies. From manipulating rules to pushing boundaries, the film showcases how these actions can be perceived as cool or idolized. If you would like to reach out to us for support or more information, please call Next Steps 24/7 and free helpline at 1-800-315-5579. I'd like to now introduce Casey for our conversation about the movie The School of Rock. So our show is all about breaking down some of the relationships that are shown in media where the actions between like the partners or the friends or whoever's involved are not super healthy, but the way that they show it might make those things seem kind of normal or even romantic and like ideal. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with this, maybe growing up and watching those shows and movies?
Yeah, so growing up in the 2000s, I watched a lot of TV, you know, coming home from school. And on the weekends, I would go hang out with my friends at movie theaters. And so TV and movies were a big part of my culture growing up. I worked at a movie theater in high school and had movie posters all over my room. And now in my 20s, as I go back and rewatch a lot of these shows and these movies that I watched whenever I was young, I can see a lot of the social flaws, a lot of these behaviors that were represented. One show that really struck me was Drake and Josh. Oh my goodness. I rewatched that a couple years ago and just realized how horrible Drake was to women. And, you know, he's representing just a kid in high school or middle school, you know, and growing up, we all thought he was so cool and hot. Like he was the cool one. Right. And it was cool to treat girls that way. And it's kind of hard growing older and rewatching these shows and realizing that that's what was being fed to us whenever we were young.
Yeah, I absolutely remember that, watching Drake and Josh and having Drake be the one that was supposed to be like the heartthrob that you were supposed to like cheer on a little bit more. But yeah, I rewatched it too, and I'm definitely noticing a lot of the different ways that he's treating and speaking about women make me cringe now, because it's not kind at all. It's not respectful at all, but I wouldn't have batted an eye at the time. Like, it was totally normal. And I think it was across a lot of, like, the 90s, 2000s movies and TV shows. So I totally relate to that. So today we're going to be talking about The School of Rock, which is an early 2000s movie. Can you tell me a little bit about why you wanted to discuss this specific movie?
Yeah, so this one is another one. I love this movie. Even now, I still love this movie, and it's just a classic that I've rewatched many times throughout my life with friends. But I watched it with a friend when I was visiting home over winter break and thought differently of it. You know, I was really kind of thinking about the behaviors and the attitudes in the movie and thought, you know, there's something less to be desired here and something that we could pick apart. So I guess that's why I wanted to choose it.
Yeah, I rewatched it in preparation for this recording, and I swear it was so much more realistic when I was younger. Like, I, again, wouldn't have batted an eye at, like, a middle-aged man. I don't know exactly how old he is in the movie.
Probably late 20s.
Yeah, maybe late 20s. Maybe not quite middle-aged. But, you know, an adult man coming into an elementary school and then just taking them all out of school. Or, like, I got to the part where he got found out and everything. And he was back in his apartment. And then the kids just decided to take the school tour bus or whatever, school field trip bus.
Well, the parents
picked him up.
Yeah. How did they know where he lived? What I thought was so funny is that after the police were there and he got caught, the next scene is him running out with his two guitars in his hands as if he would have had time to grab his two guitars and run away from everybody.
Yeah, and the police are just like, oh, dang, maybe next time, like, we're not going to chase after him. He's good, like, he just is good to just get away and, like, just go after doing all of what he had done. And, like, the police obviously were there in the first place, but then they were like, nah, you're good. We're not going to chase after you or anything. Yeah, I noticed so many of those things throughout the entire movie that's a big thing I was focusing on. I was like, how did this seem so realistic when I was younger?
How he got through weeks and weeks of teaching nothing but music.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody noticed.
Soundproofed the room. How did a couple of 10-year-olds completely soundproof a room so that no one else in the school could hear an entire, like, rock band in that classroom? So many different examples from that, like 100 different examples just from the movie of all of the things that, like, at the time seemed totally realistic. And, like, I didn't even question it at the time. But yeah, so let's talk about some of the behaviors that you noticed that at the time, maybe we didn't question, but maybe now we're, like, seeing a little bit differently. Can you think of any, like, specific examples from the movie that you maybe noticed of some not so great things being made to look kind of normal?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that I noticed, especially upon rewatching the film, was the girlfriend to Ned's girlfriend's reaction. She didn't like Jack Black's character, Dewey, and was very pushy towards Ned to tell Dewey what to do, to get him to pay his rent, to kick him out, so forth. But through her anger, she was expressing her discontent to Dewey by expressing all that anger towards Ned. And she was yelling at him, telling him that he needs to, you know, stand up for himself, but all the while being very aggressive towards him and not really letting him speak or have his peace, and kind of embodying these behaviors that she's telling him to stand up against. And so I really didn't find that as a very healthy behavior on her part.
Yeah, and I think we see that probably in a lot of different movies and TV shows. And I know, like, even growing up, I was always told, hey, maybe grow a backbone, maybe stand up for yourself against, like, X, Y, and Z people. But they'd do the same thing because they'd say, stand up for yourself. And then they'd do something that would be an example of the things that they're telling you to stand up against. And I think you're exactly right in saying that this is what she's doing throughout the entire movie. Like, she's telling him that she's upset about this situation and that he needs to stand up for himself against his friend while yelling at him and being kind of volatile in her confrontation of that whole situation.
Yeah. I was also, like, analyzing Ned's, I mean, Ned was constantly saying, like, I'm sorry, you know, and on both sides, it was just seemed like an unhealthy match for her being so overbearing and him being so overly apologetic, and, you know, complacent. That's not aggressive behavior, but it's not healthy behavior.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely not a good match for couple, like, couple wise. And I think, like, watching the movie now, in my opinion, she was upset because she saw someone taking advantage of somebody that she cared about. And instead of taking that and communicating in a healthy way that might have actually benefited Ned and, like, helped him gain, like, the confidence to stand up to his friend, she kind of tore his confidence down by constantly yelling at him and telling him that he wasn't strong enough to do that. So even if it was a situation where he was in a position where he did actually really need to tell his friend that it was too much and that we needed to set some boundaries, tearing down his confidence and making him feel bad about not being able to do that immediately is definitely not the direction to go to actually get, like, that healthy result that you're trying to get and, like, to be a support person for the person that you're with.
Sure. Like,
tearing them down, not a super great or healthy way to get them to be able to be confident.
Yeah. Jack Black was also, well, Jack Black's character, rather, was also guilty of it on the other side because he's Ned's best friend. But as soon as the girlfriend leaves the room, he's like, dude, dump her. I've been mooching off you for forever. What the heck is going on, you know? And so he was doing the same thing, like telling Ned what to do, being pushy about his own agenda and what he wants, rather than neither of them were allowing Ned the space to express how he actually feels in the situation.
Yeah, they were really focusing on how it was impacting them more than how it was impacting Ned and how their behavior towards Ned was impacting him too. Because, I mean, I don't agree with Jack Black's character and seemed to put like a lot of extra pressure and there didn't seem to be good boundaries, but I also don't agree with his girlfriend's method of trying to fix that situation of just yelling at him and telling him he needs to stand up for himself, because obviously that wasn't going to get them anywhere.
Yeah.
So how do you think watching maybe Ned's girlfriend treat him in the way that she's treating him in this movie might impact the people who are growing up and watching this movie?
I think this might impact viewers who agree with the girlfriend's ideas and may think that her methods are the way to achieve a certain means, such as having a conversation with Ned about his roommate in such an aggressive way, whenever in reality, that aggressiveness is not helping the situation at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not. And I think it kind of promotes the unhealthy behavior that she's doing as a healthy way of communicating with your partner. I think it could be really confusing growing up and watching that, because that might be how you feel like it might be normal to communicate with your partner. Or if your partner is communicating with you that way, it might make it feel a little bit more normal. Even though it's still probably not going to feel very good, because it doesn't feel good for to have someone speak to you that way, but it might make it seem a little bit more normal. It might make it even more confusing to figure out that it's not okay for people to treat each other that way if it's so normalized, and some of the things that we watched growing up could be so confusing.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, and today we have Casey on to talk about the things she noticed when rewatching the 2003 movie, The School of Rock. So can you think of any other examples from the movie that you wanted to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely. So the big example that I thought of the first time I watched it and wanted to bring this movie to you was Jack Black's character and his behavior throughout the movie. It wasn't in a specific romantic relationship, but throughout all of his relationships, including the one with his roommate, with the students, with the teachers at the school, he's constantly gaslighting people and he's constantly lying to them, brushing off what they have to say, you know, making excuses. And he's constantly gaslighting people. And one behavior that was really bad was how he persuaded the principal to go have a coffee with him. The coffee turned into beer, and then he tried to ask a favor of the principal while she was under the influence, and tried to pretend, you know, brush it off like it was no big deal the next day or whenever he brought it back up to her. So that behavior really struck me.
Yeah, I think it really did kind of set me back watching it again. Because, I mean, that specific example, he does gaslight her and then says they're going to go for coffee, and she's all excited because nobody asks her to go for coffee. He's the first teacher to ask her to go for coffee or do anything outside of school. And then he brings her to a bar instead of a coffee shop, saying that, oh, I thought they'd have coffee at this bar. No, probably not. And then he uses information he learned about her ahead of time so that he can manipulate the situation so that he can get what he wants out of her, when he already knew that, like, he already knew her answer to the question he was going to ask her. He already asked her in this specific situation to take the kids on a field trip, air quotes around field trip, for those who don't see me in person making air quotes. He asked her to take the kids on a field trip, and she said no, because it's school policy, and for good reason, and then asked her again so that he could get the answer that he wanted, which is totally not okay.
Yeah, I agree. And it I think that's really bothersome because Jack Black is portrayed as like this cool, suave character. You know, he uses this method of gaslighting to just kind of like get on people's good side or get people on his good side. You know, people think that he's so smooth. And then he goes and gets away with gaslighting and lying to people. And I don't know, it just really bothered me when I watched it because it just seemed so wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, it totally is wrong. And I think that it sets a really bad example of how we are allowed to treat each other. Cause that is definitely obviously not an okay way to treat somebody, to manipulate situations just to get what you wanted. And I think another thing I can think of, like is his interactions with the student Summer,
mm-hmm.
because up until the point where she's like, well, I'm going to talk to my mom about this because you're making me a groupie and I don't want to be a groupie. So I'm going to talk to my mom about this, which would ruin like his whole plan of what was going on. That was the first time he started being even remotely nice to her or showing her any kind of even little bit of like respect as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he was treating her as this nuisance who was like too focused on school and being really rude to her until he's like, oh, but I need something from you now. So now I'm going to be a little bit kinder to you and give you a little bit more like respect as a person.
Yeah. That, if you don't mind, it kind of plays into the third idea that I wanted to bring up, which is that rock and roll is cool and it's not cool to go to school, mm-hmm. you know? And so bringing up Summer is a great example because Summer is somebody that enjoys school. She's an achiever, you know, she's proud to be the class factotum. She's proud of her gold stars, you know, that, and Jack Black's character is really kind of playing that that's not cool, that that's not something to be desired. And that just bothers me because you're telling kids that in order to be a cool person, in order to be a rock and roll star, you know, you can't be good at school. You can't achieve things, you know, you can't do what's asked of you. And that is stuff is cool. And that is, you know, we should be teaching things that like, it is cool to achieve.
Exactly. I think like the whole precedent that the movie sets about like, being disrespectful and manipulated the situations and not like enjoying school or like enjoying achieving different things and setting that up as like being the cool rock and roll lifestyle is definitely a poor example. I think there are so many different things and so many different ways to like feel good about your achievements in life. And all of them are super cool. But this movie really does set the example that if you want to do really well in school, or if you want to play classical music, or you want to be respectful and like not manipulate the situation, then you're not rock and roll. You're not super cool.
Yeah. And rock and roll is being a good person that's kind and thoughtful.
So jumping back really quick to what we were chatting about a minute ago. So we were talking about Jack Black's character and how he does like manipulate the situations, kind of gaslight basically everyone he talks to into getting what he wants. How do you think that like watching somebody act that way and relating it to being like the cool thing to do and being like the rock and roll thing to do, how do you think that might impact like young people who are watching the movie for the first time?
Well, I think this movie is set up so that, I mean, Jack Black is the protagonist. You know, he's the main character. He himself is a very popular, well-liked character. You know, I'll be honest, I really like Jack Black and the movies that he's in. And so I think young viewers might just idolize him in this situation. He's portrayed as this cool rock and roll dude that doesn't want to go to school. You know, we're young kids watching the show. Like, we don't want to go to school either, you know. This kind of attitude, I think, is put on a pedestal. And so I think kids would want to emulate that attitude, or at least, you know, they'll admire this character, which would take away the ability for them to think differently about his actions.
And I think that that aligns pretty well with what I remember thinking when I watched this movie for the first time, because when I watched the movie for the first time, I was like a little kid in a little private school. So I was in that position that those kids were in. And I was also like, yeah, I don't want to go to school. Like, I want to be rock and roll and cool. And so I did really put him on a pedestal and how he was acting. And I think at the time I would have probably really had a hard time separating out the rock and roll and cool, like, things that I was idolizing from the manipulation and the gaslighting and the way that he's treating everyone he talks to get something out of them. I think I would have had a really hard time breaking those things up. So can you go back and can you tell me a little bit more? I was interested to hear a little bit more about that kind of third example you had mentioned around the whole kind of movie promoting, like, the whole rock and roll is all about, like, being disrespectful and, like, not respecting, you know, the people in your life and not wanting to go to school and not wanting to have those achievements in school and those different kinds of things. Can you tell me a little bit more about your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a rock and roller. I grew up, you know, always really into rock and roll music, wearing, you know, band t-shirts, watching MTV and VH1. I always really was into the rock and roll style and the rock and roll culture. And so I love this movie called School of Rock. And looking back on it, I can really see how they're taking this portrayal of rock and roll as a really cool persona and putting it against things like quote unquote nerds, people that like school, people that follow the rules, you know, people that go to work, that kind of stuff, and how they're trying to play the idea that rock and roll is cool and you don't do those things against, and all this other stuff, you know, following the rules of society is not cool. And there's a much deeper conversation that could be had in there about quote unquote the rules of society, but I also think that it's really uncool to dog on other people for what they want to do and what they like to do, for being responsible, you know, for being kind to other people, for respecting other people, respecting authority, or wanting to do good in school. I just think as a whole, we as a society should engender the idea that it's cool to be kind. You know, it's cool to be responsible. It's also cool to be punk and wear denim jackets, you know, and play the guitar. Like, it's cool to play classical guitar, like you said. It's cool to read books, you know. We should have this culture where we respect what other people want to do and not just try to think that, I don't know, you're uncool because you're not rock, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was getting the second time around watching this film, was something that I think could be a big impact on people, and how people, and especially young people, perceive going to school, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, the idea that you have to be really rude and disrespectful to someone because they're not interested in what you're interested in, or they don't align with what you think that they should align with, is really negatively impactful to so many people. Because, I mean, we see it in every area of everything, but there are people who will be really mean to other people just because they don't align with what they think they should align with. And I totally agree. I think this movie definitely sets that up as an example. So what do you think people watching should keep in mind while they're kind of consuming the media that could help lessen some of these potential negative impacts that we talked about today?
Well, maybe, because a lot of what I'm realizing is I've grown older, I've learned things, I've had relationships and experiences that has made me grow a bit wiser around relationships and behaviors. And so I'm looking at it with that lens. Maybe if you're someone who's younger watching media, maybe you really just try to empathize and say, is that how I would want somebody to treat me? You know, think about the behavior of that person. Put yourself in Ned's shoes, you know, like, do I like that? And try to analyze it in that way, instead of thinking that this is just how people act, you know, try to be a little bit more empathetic in the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that answer.
I'd like to thank Casey for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about the School of Rock and the differences she noticed when rewatching the film. We talked a lot about how the characters' actions towards each other may give some not-so-great examples about how people should be treating each other, how the movie might set up the idea that it's okay to put people down because they have different interests than you, and how important it is to make sure that we are empathetic towards each other. You have been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Allie Williamson, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcasts, weru.org, or on the WERU smartphone app. We're also now on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine or know of a young person in Maine who would be interested in being a guest speaker on the show, or you just have ideas of some media that we can talk about, you can reach out to me at awilliamson@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579.